Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Tonight, as we hear from the book of Daniel, it's a vision. Daniel is a prophet. And so Daniel is having a vision. And in this vision, he sees one he describes as, quote, like a son of man. And as you should all know, this is how Jesus refers to himself, as the son of man. One like a son of man. Now, something else that's interesting about that title, son of man, in Hebrew, the word man and the word Adam are the same word. So when we think of Adam, Adam is just the first man. And the son of man is a way of kind of saying a generic person, okay? And so when Jesus refers to himself as son of man, there's two ways to understand what he's saying. One is, like, I'm a regular guy. I'm one of you. Okay, that's one way of understanding what Jesus means when he says son of man. But there's another way to understand what he means when he says son of man. And that is the son of man from the book of Daniel. And did you hear how the son of man from the book of Daniel was described just a moment ago? And I'll just describe it a little bit more to you. As the vision during the night continued, I saw one like son of man coming on the clouds of heaven, and he reached the ancient one. And this is a vision of the Trinity in heaven, okay? The ancient one is the Father. And so one like the son of man, the incarnate son, and he was presented before him, and the son of man received dominion, glory, kingship. Dominion is power. Power over all things, and glory, and what was the last word? Kingship. And we celebrate today Jesus Christ, what? King. And so we see this kingship, and all peoples, all nations, all languages serve him. So that's why that reading was chosen for today. And then in the second reading from the book of Revelation, to him who lives and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he has made us into a kingdom. And so we belong to the kingdom of the great king, the king of the universe, who is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a little story about our neighbors to the south in Mexico. Many of you know this already. For some of you, maybe a little bit of a new story. But in the early part of last century, in the 1900s, in the 20th century, a president came to power in Mexico named Plutarco Calles. Plutarco Calles. He was the 40th president of Mexico, and he was an atheist. And when he took power, initially his rule over Mexico, his political power over Mexico, was, you know, more or less like a normal political endeavor, trying to get his political agenda in place. But his atheism began to kind of fester in him. And this festering atheism turned to an active pursuit or persecution of the church. And he began to have Christians, and particularly Catholics, because Mexico has lots of Catholics, killed. And their property taken away from them, and churches shut down. And this was a terrible persecution happening in Mexico. And you can read all about it if you want to, you know, Google it or get a history book. Anyway, so this president is arresting people, and he wants them to submit to the government as the ultimate power. That you must bow before the power of the state, or you will be killed. And so he was arresting people, and he was killing people. And he would even hang them on telephone poles in towns so people would see, you know, just like they used to crucify people and leave their bodies on the cross so that people could see. So this was happening. not that far away. Well, anyway, he arrests a group of people, three. One's name was Miguel Pro, one was Luis Magana, and then a 14-year-old boy named Jose Sanchez. And he demands, or the government forces demand, that they bow to the state, that they abandon their faith, and they say, basically, the government of Mexico is king. And Miguel Pro was a priest. He was a Jesuit priest. So there he is before the firing squad, and he refuses to bow before the state. And he says, I am a loyal son of Mexico. I am a loyal son of Mexico. But first, Jesus Christ is my king. And he put his arms out like this, and there's a picture of him being killed. And they shot him dead. And he's a martyr now. We had his feast day in the church. And the other two, Luis Magana and the little 14-year-old boy, Jose Sanchez, they were killed. And what did Miguel Pro say as he was being shot? Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ what? The King. Long live Christ the King. Well, that was happening about 100 years ago in Mexico. But was that the only place that socialistic and communistic state powers were rising that were persecuting Christianity? No, it was happening all over the world. It was especially happening in Russia, in China, and throughout Eastern Europe. And these powers were rising up. And in the face of this rising communism, this rising anti-God, anti-church, frankly, anti-truth, the Pope at the time, Pope Pius XI, in 1925, he declared this day. And what is this day? The universal church, everywhere in the church, we all together say, no matter what government we live under, no matter what political power might be in place in the nation in which we live, we all say together, Jesus Christ is my King. That is the theme of this Mass. That is the point that we make on this day. That is why the readings were chosen for today. And what kind of king do we have? And I want to describe Jesus for just a minute or two here as we look at the gospel for tonight. And this gospel is so beautiful and it's so challenging. We put ourselves into the scene of the gospel. It's Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate. You know, there's only a couple names mentioned in the creed. Really, there's Jesus, there's the Virgin Mary, and there's one other person mentioned in the creed. Who is it? Pontius Pilate. Okay, and why do we mention Pontius Pilate in the Nicene Creed? To root our faith in history. And so Jesus is standing before the governor of Judea, appointed by the Roman emperor, and so the power of the empire. And there is Jesus, who has been arrested, and he's standing before Pontius Pilate, the representative of the emperor. And Pontius Pilate saying, are you a king? Because that would have been a capital crime. It would have been rebellion. And so Jesus is there hearing Pontius Pilate's accusations. And Jesus says, my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom does not belong here. So Pilate said to him, then you are a king. And Jesus said, you say I am a king. In other words, you acknowledge that I am a king. You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world. Now I stop the homily and I leave a blank right there. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why was he born? You know, and there's lots of answers, and you should all have an answer or two at least come into your mind when I ask you that question. And this is not the first time, you regulars here at Our Lady of the Gulf, this is not the first time you've been asked this question, okay? So here it is. You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Jesus comes to tell the truth, to be a witness to the truth, to make his testimony, and his testimony is truth. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And then this last line, which is both beautiful and it's a little scary, but it also should be of great encouragement to everybody that's ever lived. Jesus says, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So every person, no matter where they live, no matter what time they've been in, no matter what their government is about, the voice of truth is available for them to hear and to follow. And whose voice is the voice of truth? Jesus, our King. See, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Now, the reality is that we live in a world where the truth is under assault. This is what was happening with Miguel Pro. The government of Mexico said, no, no, God is not true. The government is true. You must bow before the government. And he said, I will not. Just as Jesus is going to be given that same opportunity. And he did not. And he made a testimony of his own blood. A few months ago, I talked about one of the great problems that we have in the world today. And this problem, you all need to learn this problem with me, as I need to grow in my understanding of it. And the problem is called relativism. It's the philosophy that says the truth cannot be known. Anybody ever heard that proposition? Anybody ever heard that idea? Oh, you have your truth and I have my truth, but we can't really ever know what the truth is. So you do what you want and I'll do what I want, but there is no truth. Well, that is a lie, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we must stand up and say the truth can be known. And it must be our life quest to know the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Now, there's another reality that might not be so clear tonight, but on many nights you can step outside and you can look up at the stars. And the stars, this is from the Bible, I'm quoting the Bible, the stars or the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Did you know that? The heavens proclaim the glory of God? The heavens sing God's praises. God can be known. Well, is there a voice in the world that says God can't be known? Oh, you don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. That's a lie. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the truth, and the truth must be king over our lives. So the truth can be known, and God is real, and God is true. And there's another thing that's always being kind of cast doubt on. The Bible is true. Is the Bible true? The Bible is true. It's truth. Do we have to learn how to read the Bible? Yes, we must learn how to read the Bible. We must understand that parts of the Bible are poetry, parts of the Bible are history, parts of the Bible are parables or stories, but the Bible is true. And the first thing we need to know and believe about the sacred word of God is that it is true. And to desire to know that truth. What about you? What about your body? What about the meaning of your body? Can it be known? Why you were created? Absolutely, it can be known. Is there a lie that out there that says, who knows? Of course there is, but Jesus Christ is the truth, and our bodies were given to us for all of the other things that we can do with this body. The number one thing that this body was given to us for is to worship God. That is why we have a body. And we are going to worship God tonight by kneeling, by standing, by singing, by praying. Some of us by receiving Holy Communion, by eating. yes, all of these things. When we have the incense, we smell, we have this body, and we give glory to God in this body. Unfortunately, we can sin with this body too, but that's another homily for a different day, okay? Today, we talk about the truth can be known, and the truth is that our bodies are good, our bodies were given to us to worship God. Now, I have to mention maybe one sin, because, you know, what about a little baby in its mama's womb? Does that life have dignity? See, there's a lie out there that says it doesn't. But we know the truth is that it does. And the world wants to tell us, oh, little babies, you know what? More than anything, they're little environmental hazards. You know, they're little problems for the environment. And that's a lie. The world was made for us, and the heavens give glory to God. So my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the truth. And I'm going to give you a very, very quick synopsis of the truth. That you were created by God, and you were created good by God. But then sin entered the world, and through sin, lies and death entered the world. And then Jesus comes as the way and the truth and the life, and he suffers and dies for our sins, and he establishes a kingdom, right? And we are called to be members of that kingdom, citizens in the kingdom of Almighty God. But we travel this earth in our own little political world, and our call is to accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to enter his church, to be baptized, and to be faithful to Jesus Christ, King of the world. And you all, I know you do. I know you do sometimes. Don't you pray that God's kingdom would be manifest in the world, that it would grow, that it would become stronger, that it would be more beautifully and more powerfully present in your life and in mine? Do you ever pray for that? Do you pray for that every day? Do you pray for that very specifically every day? I wish you would. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us to pray for that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, what? Thy kingdom come. And we're not talking about, you know, knights on horseback and castles. You know, that's not the kingdom. You know, maybe that's what you're thinking of when you hear the word kingdom. But that's not it. In fact, we might even say, instead of kingdom, we might say the reign of God, the rule of God. See, that's what we're praying for when we pray thy kingdom come, is that God would be the ruler, that God would be the Lord, that God, if you will, in our American language, would be our president. He would be our highest authority, right? Long live who? Christ the King. Viva Cristo Rey. And so today, the gospel tells us that Jesus Christ is King. Then you are a king, Pilate says, the emperor, the representative of the emperor, the power of the Roman Empire, who's going to try to crush Jesus. And what weapons does Jesus fight with? Only he rides into town on a donkey, right? And the only weapon he has is his obedience to the Father. And with his obedience to the Father, he establishes his kingdom. And you and I, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be subjects in the kingdom of God, and our King is good. Our King is loving. Our King doesn't ask us to die for him. Our King actually died for us. You say, I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. I pray we all are men and women who strive throughout our lives to hear, to believe, to live the truth.